Well, thank you, Brother Bob. I'm glad he came to me. I sure couldn't go to him. Amen. Good job. That's a blessing to hear the truth like that. I'd like for you to go to the book of Ecclesiastes. Some of you here last night, I was in the book of Ecclesiastes, and I called it the merry-go-round book, so we're going around again. And a little bit different. I want you to go to chapter 8 of the book of Ecclesiastes. I guess if I was trying to title what I'm going to say here, I'd call it The Answer for an Evil Day. And I think we'll see it the idea of where I'm going after a little bit here. I want you to go to Ecclesiastes chapter 8. We're going to look at about verse 6 through maybe verse 11. Hope you look at your Bible as we read. You know, sometimes we just pass over it a little bit too fast. If you think of the words, do you ever have a problem with somebody when you realize they're hearing but they're not hearing? We husbands and wives sometimes have that problem with each other, amen? You probably don't, but I know some that do, but anyway. I have said to my wife before, I'd say, were you listening to my words? And then she's bounced that back off of me a time or two. But look at it in verse 6 of Ecclesiastes chapter 8. Because to every purpose there is time and judgment, therefore the misery of man is great upon him. For he knoweth not that which shall be, for who can tell him when it shall be? There is no man that hath power with the Spirit to retain the Spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death, and there is no discharge in that war. Neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given to it. All this have I seen and applied my heart unto every work that is done under the sun. There is a time wherein one man ruleth over another to his own hurt. And so I saw the wicked buried, who had come and gone from the place of the holy. And they were forgotten in the city where they had so done. This is also vanity. And here's a powerful verse. It's not my theme today, but because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. This is not my message, but there's a lot of folks say, well, I done it one time and lightning didn't hit me. The sentence wasn't executed quickly against the evil work I done, and so therefore I'll do it again. Well, that's a little sermonette before we get started. I want you to go back to verse 7. I want to get you to look at verse 7 in this chapter 8. For he knoweth not that which shall be, for who can tell him when it shall be? Now, the theme of things today is the coming year. New Year's, I recognize all that. This text tells us that man knows not. Now we're going to have all kind of New Year's, not only resolutions, but predictions. And people make them every year, and you see them in the newspaper and all that. But let me give you a profound truth. They don't know. They don't know. Some of them make some good guesses, and they always record the ones that were good guesses and miss the ones that missed. We know that. But in the news, you got a lot about not only 2012, but 2011. I saw some documentary on History Channel. They called it The Wildest Year Ever. They were showing some really, really bad stuff. I mean, if you enumerate it just a little bit, it was a tremendous time in 2011. This last year saw, 400 or more tornadoes out there in the Midwest, out there around Missouri, Arkansas, and Oklahoma, and all those unusual weather, and just kept hitting them and kept tearing things up and so unusual. At the same time, Texas was drying up and burning. So many different unusual things happening, and extreme wind, hurricane winds without the rain. pushing the fires and other things, and even in areas like Chicago, extreme strange acting snow and snow ahead of time, and all of that was pretty extreme anywhere you wanted to look. And then you had the tsunamis and you had the earthquakes. And by the way, on the radio coming in this morning, I heard the announcement again, another earthquake somewhere. Sounded pretty big. We had the earthquake out in Japan, of course, and hitting the nuclear facility and all the problems from that. But by the way, also hit Washington, D.C. I hope somebody was paying attention up there. The truth of the matter is, unusual stuff going on. And somebody says, well, it's a big coincidence. Maybe so. But let me say this, don't rule God out of it. Don't rule God out of it. I can give you an example of that in the Bible. If you go back to a verse we're so familiar with, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, and we always want to apply this verse that was applied to Israel in the days of the dedication of the temple unto Solomon. We're quick to apply it today on the 4th of July, or Memorial Day, or something else. But while we do that, we need to see the context of it. And if you go back to 2 Chronicles 7:14 and then get the two verses ahead of that, verse 12 and 13, go ahead and find it. I hear your pages now. I'm going to read it because you won't let me run over time, and I know it. Amen. Verse 12, and the Lord appeared to Solomon by night. Now here's the dedication of the temple. And he appeared to King Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place, talking about the temple, chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. Now watch the next verse. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among the people. Hey, that's the context of the next verse. You know, God says I do use natural or supernatural phenomena. I can use the locusts. I can dry up the land. I can flood the land. I can bring the earthquakes. I can bring the tornadoes. And God is saying that if I do this, I'm giving you the remedy then. And that remedy is, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Hey, that's the promise after God has acted. And I want to say to you, I believe God did act in 2011. I certainly believe that God had to be in some of this stuff. I mean, you got the story in the Bible where Elijah the prophet came before an evil king by the name of Ahab in Israel, and he said, it's not going to rain till I say so. And for 3.5 years there, we find out that it was a dry time. And the truth was, God was in it, and God was the one brought the rain after the victory out there on Mount Carmel when they had the ministerial assassination meeting. Amen. And they got right with God. But you know, a lot was being said here and is being said, and you're going to hear a lot about it this year now, 2012. You're going to hear a lot about doomsday. It's been all over the history channels. They had a whole week here. Every time I saw the spot on there, it was said Armageddon week. And they were talking about what might bring the end of the world. And it might be an asteroid out of space. It might be an earthquake. It might be even the earth flipping on its axis. And they got all kind of things. Hey, that's not Baptist preachers talking. That's the so-called scientists, intellectuals. I find it a strange day we've moved to where God's preachers don't preach doomsday as much as the world does. And that's about what it amounts to. And of course, you've heard and heard for a long time that December the 21st, 2012 is the end. That's what the pagans have said. That's what the Mayan calendar is saying. And that's what the Hopi Indians out west is saying. The Hopi Indians said that the end would come when the whole world was covered by a web. Say a web, a spider's web? Well, I don't know. Don't some of y'all mess around with a computer on the World Wide Web? WWW, isn't that kind of interesting what we call it? So what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying there's a lot of folks saying this is it. The girls were singing about it a while ago. Is the Lord coming this year? Well, we got a different idea than what the world has about it, for sure. But that's what they're talking about. December 21, 2012, and all of that business. By the way, it is interesting that the pagans are all agreeing on the same date. The Chinese say that's the date. Interesting, isn't it? Could this be the year they sang a while ago, huh? Didn't know they were going to sing that, but that works in real good. Yeah, it's worth talking about a little bit. And the truth is here, this verse 7 tells us man doesn't know. He doesn't know. And who can tell him? And I find as a preacher, it's pretty hard to tell people, even when I've got the authority of God's word behind me. I find it still hard to get folks to listen and to pay attention. But I want to say to you that the world has got an evil picture painted out there. Now here's what I want to do for the New Year's message this morning. I want to give you a little advice. In fact, I want to give you a little recipe of how to deal with it if it's the evil day that's coming. You say, now preacher, we were all excited about a brand new clean new year and you're messing it up. I get your drift. You say, I come to feel better about myself today and I was going to make some new year's resolutions. Well, go ahead and make them. You may have many years and then you may not. You may not. I want to give you a little recipe though. It'll work either way. I want to tell you what to do in the evil day. Some things to do. I give you a little bit of advice here. If the world's seers or prognosticators are right, this will still work. You know, the government is even into this business. How many of you know they've got a great big vault prepared to take earthquakes and storms and tsunamis, and it's full of all the seed that they can gather, the government, American government. All the seed that they can gather in case that all life is wiped out, maybe the seed can be replanted. I even saw where one man was saying, if it all wipes all the people out, he said the bacteria will be king. He said, now they'll be buried down in the ground 100 foot, but they'll be the source of life, and so there'll still be life on the earth. Of course, if you believe the evolutionist falsehoods anyway, that's where we come from, so, you know, bunch of junk. I want to give you a little advice. I hope you listen to me this morning just a little bit. I want to say this to you. An answer for the evil day, number one, keep your head in the game. Isn't that what the coaches tell the players? Where's your head, boy? What'd you do that for? Why'd you clip him? Keep your head in the game. That means stay alert, know what's going on. The evil of the last days, folks, is deception. And if you don't think, if you don't keep your head in the game, you'll get fooled. I mean, that's the sign of the end, the spinning, the lies. I mean, Hitler would be jealous of some of the spin that's going on today in political circles. And he was the one that made it famous, saying, if you tell a lie long enough, everybody will believe you. And he seemed to prove that. And I'm saying today and seeing today that it's being proven again. Again. But we put the Bible light on it, and it'll help you understand what's happening. Let me tell you what's happening, what you can't understand in politics, what you can't understand in the worldwide news. When you put the Bible light on it, there's a global plan being worked. There's a global plan to put all the world governments into one hodgepodge under one leader, and that thing is coming, and it's coming very fast, and that'll help you understand the changes that we're seeing even here in America and seeing so fast. Yeah, I'll tell you what we're headed to. We're headed to a monarchy with a monarch on the throne, so to speak. Do you understand that America's government is a phenomena? It was for a number of years. You had almost every nation in the world was under a monarchy. Now, Israel had a theophany before they wanted a king by the name of Saul. Remember the story? And in a sense, Britain is somewhat is a democracy, but they have a king, and the king is just he's just a figurehead now. But in the early days, he had the power. But as a whole, every 2011, we've seen monarchs disposed. But hey, you know what's going to take their place? Another one just like them. That's what's going to take their place. That's world history in the sense of that's the natural way for government. And you know what's scary in America? That's what we are about to have, and we are moving that way very fast. A Florida college professor here in our state recently did a poll on his college students, and it was a scary thing to me. He said 8 out of 10 of his students that he polled, 8 out of 10 of them were for entitlements. And some of you listening to me, don't shake your head, you are too. We're all up to our neck in them. You know what that is? That is simply saying government ought to be my God. Government ought to take care of me. Government owes me a living. And I ought to, hey, instead of going out and getting a job to earn one's way, it's where can I go fill out a form to get some tax money from somebody else that earned it and put it in. Help yourself. You walked into a place where you may get it straight this morning, whether you like it or not. We're headed that way, folks. We've had presidents in the past that warned us, from George Washington to Ronald Reagan, that warned us that this could happen in America, that it could happen to our governments and in our government leadership. They warned us concerning this very thing. President Harry Truman, whatever you think of him, about the bomb and the war and all the rest of it, he made a statement that tells me, now I know he was an old Baptist, but somebody said he was a cursing Baptist. I've met a few of them. I think the old president might have been saved, though. He was the first one to recognize Israel, and he did so, Brother Calvert, you might remember, he did so by writing J. Frank Norris a letter and asking him what the Bible had to say about it. And J. Frank wrote him back, and I've got a copy of the letter somewhere in my office. And J. Frank, the old fundamental Baptist preacher from Texas, we called him the Texas Cyclone, he wrote back and said, you better stay on God's side. The Bible says that Israel is going back to the land. And Harry Truman recognized them as a nation, 1948. But you know, Harry Truman said this, and George Washington and even Abe Lincoln and some others said something similar to it ahead of him. But you find over there where Harry Truman said this. He said very simply that when power is consolidated into one man, he said, you have a monarchy. And then he made the statement like this. He said, the consolidation of power in the hands of one man, our forefathers set up a system to prevent it, because that one man will be a demagogue. He will be a man on horseback. President Truman knew his Bible. Do you know Revelation chapter 6 tells you who the man on the horseback is going to be? He's the first rider that shows up in Revelation chapter 6 on a white horse. You know who he turns out to be? He turns out to be the global leader. He turns out to be the monarch. He turns out to be the one of the global government that's being put together, and you and I in Christian circles know him as the Antichrist. Amen. Getting quiet in here. Getting quiet. Now, the truth of the matter is, some of our forefathers knew some stuff. See, that's Bible code for the man on horseback. That's where the governments will finally, and all the consolidation of power will be brought together. And that's exactly what the Bible predicts for the end age. One religion, one government under one man, one monarch. And that's where we're heading. And if you can't see any sense in what's going on in Washington and in Europe, that's where it's headed to. And it's moving that way fast. I mean, moving that way very fast. Our VP, Vice President Joe Biden, he's funny enough, he ought to be on the stage. The last one out of town, hopefully. But anyway, Joe Biden said, the Taliban is not our enemy. Remember that just recently, last few days? The Taliban's not our enemy. Now, wait a minute. I thought it was just old Joe with his foot in his mouth again. But it wasn't. Because executive orders out of the White House said open Gitmo and take those Taliban prisoners that we put in and release them. And even the generals in the Pentagon were amazed. They said, well, the president's just making a good gesture toward the Taliban. And Joe said, they're not our enemy. Well, wait a minute. What meaneth all the boys running around with their legs shot off and their arms missing? What does it mean, the little boys whose dads aren't coming home? I thought that, my friend, we were in a war with that crowd. Why aren't they our enemy? We are our enemy. We need to wake up, folks. Better keep your head in the game. Better understand what's going on biblically. I want to say this. If we're going to have a recipe to answer for the evil day, keep your head in the game and then keep your house in order. Say, what do you mean? Do you ever have a doctor give you that advice? Look out there about where Brother Orville sat in 2010, and after his wife passed away with cancer, within a few weeks he went to the doctor, didn't know he had anything wrong with him, and the doctor did some tests, and he said to Brother Horton, he said, put your house in order, you've only got a few weeks. Well, he lived a few months. But you know what Brother Orville did? He came home and started putting his house in order. Say, what do you mean by that? I mean, tie up the loose ends. Let me say to you, if you want to be ready to face the evil time, put your house in order. You say, well, you mean my bonds or my investments, or you mean I pay my bill? Yeah, all that's part of it, but there's something goes deeper than that. Put your house in order. Is there some things you need to fix with your family? Are you fussing with the wife or the husband or the kids or the kinfolk? I mean, if this was the time you were not going to see them anymore, would you want to do some things before you leave? Would you want to fix some things before you leave? Put your house in order. You know what? We need to have short accounts with God. We need to be prayed up. We need to be walking right and straight, because like the ladies were singing a while ago, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, you and I, brother, could be caught up if we're saved. If you're not saved, you're going to be left behind, and that's much, much worse. Much worse. But I want my house in order. I got a little work to do paperwork-wise, but I want my relationships to be right. I tell you something. I want to be as right as I can with the people that I have a relationship with. And I want my house in order, because if the evil day doesn't come in 2012, it will be an evil day if we leave things in a mess. It'll be a great day for we that are saved when the trumpet sounds. But I want to say, as I said to you a while ago, if talking about the second coming of Christ scares you, then you need to get your house in order.
Amen.
And definitely if you're not saved, my friend, it's out of order until you get saved. Till you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You know, I give you a little recipe here to put your house in order, and then I'd say this, keep your heart in the faith. I said in the faith, not just faith. There's all kind of false faiths. Do you know that?
Right.
And there is one, the faith. Ephesians 6:12 tells us over there to put on the whole armor of God. Listen to it. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor, all of it, whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Now, it assumes here in this verse we need to have on the Christian armor, because the time is coming, the evil day will come, and the evil day can be right now with a lot of things we need to be dressed for. We need to have on the armor of God for. But I want to tell you, like it or not, the truth from the Word of God is that evil men are going to wax worse and worse, and times are not going to get any better, because as the morals go down and the sin goes up, God's blessing is not on us as a nation anymore.
That's right.
You may not like that, but that's being real about it. That's telling the truth about it. Keep your heart in the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. Know what God's word says about it. Test everything else by thus saith the Lord. It's not just any faith. Bible tells me in the latter days and the bad things that's coming on the earth that men's hearts are going to fail them. It's going to be a scary time. A scary time. And it tells me that the nations will be perplexed. They won't know what to do. And we've arrived there. Do you think you know anybody in the news from the political side that has the answer? I don't. You say, well, we got some hope in this guy. And about the time you get some hope in him, they open the closet and find a skeleton. They all got clay feet. The good news is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the perfect one. He's the one that has the answer. He's the one I want to be right with. He's the one I have my faith in, is the Lord Jesus Christ. Doomsday holds no fear for the real Christian. No fear at all. Old Thomas Edison, I don't know about his personal salvation. Some think he was saved. But one of the things they're saying today is that an asteroid could hit the earth and destroy us. And there's a lot of things they're saying. And so in his day, somebody said to old Thomas Edison, said, there's a comet coming. It's going to hit the earth and wipe us out, going to destroy the earth. And old Edison said, that's okay. We can do without it. Well, if you're saved, you can do without it. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you can do without it. Amen. The big question is, do you know him? Do you know him? Are you in the faith? Is your heart in the faith? And I say to you as a believer, is your heart in the faith? Stephen was teaching in Sunday school, do you thirst after God? I want to say to you, that ought to be important to us. Really ought to be. It's our heart in the faith. And then I'd say this as a recipe for the evil time, keep your hope in God. The song says, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. And brother, I want to say to you, that's enough if it's built on that. On Jesus' blood and righteousness. You know, my hope in this world is not much. And hope in this world is vain. 1 John chapter 2 tells us the world's going to pass away and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of the Father, it'll abide forever. But the world is going to pass away, and the lust thereof. My hope and assurance is in God's plan, not man's, not politics. There is a plan. The devil has a plan. The devil has a man, and he's bringing the governments together under one. And that one will reign for a little while, but he's going to be a temporary reign, and the real King of Kings and Lord of Lords is coming back to displace him. To displace that usurper. But if you want to know what's going on in the world today, you better see it through the Bible eyes and through the light the Bible sheds on it. My hope and assurance is in God's plan. God has a plan to save you. Did you know that? God has a plan to let you stand before him in his presence one day as though you never sinned. Oh, what a plan that is. He sent a substitute. He sent the Son of God. He sent the Lord Jesus Christ to implement that plan. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. Jesus, the sinless one, made sin for me. And it goes on in part B, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now listen, Jesus not only paid for my sin, he provided me a righteousness. He provided me a righteous robe that'll get me in the door of heaven. There's a lot of folks going to stand, as it were, at heaven's door. They're not going to get that close to it. But for the sake of illustration, they're going to stand at the door and try to argue and get in. Oh, no. Oh, no. You're not going to get in by your works, by your church membership, by your baptism, by who you know or how good you think you are. The Bible tells me if you stand there in your righteousness, it'll be like standing there robed in filthy rags. That's what the scripture compares man's righteousness to. But you know, the Lord Jesus provided us a robe of righteousness that'll get us in the gate. Oh, it'll get us right on through. If the Son of God himself can walk in heaven's door, you that are saved in Christ, you can walk in also, because you're clothed, you're robed, if you please, in his righteousness. Hey, that's the plan God has. That's the one I'm in on. That's the one I'm trusting. That's the one that gives me the assurance when the world is falling apart and when the world has no answers. My answer is the Lord Jesus Christ. My security, my assurance of my salvation in him. I think of the old story where a shepherd had a wolf or a lion break in on his flock one night. And that wild beast was able to kill a mother sheep and leave a little lamb without a mother. At the same time, another little lamb was killed and left a mother without her lamb. The shepherd had a plan. He thought, I've got to sustain the little lamb that's alive. The mother was killed. So I'll take the little lamb over to the mother whose lamb was killed, and I'll put them together, and this new mother will nurse this lamb that's not really hers, and it'll live. That was his plan. But as he brought the little lamb to the surviving mother, she'd have nothing to do with him. She would not let him nurse. The shepherd came up with another plan. He took the dead little lamb and he skinned it out. And he took that skin and he robed the live little lamb and took it back to the mother. Then she accepted it and nursed it. Do you understand what I'm saying? The Lamb of God. The Lamb of God provided me a robe. And when I stand at heaven's door, just like that sheep recognized her lamb, I'm going to step in heaven's gate because God is going to recognize his lamb that shed his blood for me and clothed me in his righteousness and lets me stand before God as though I had no sin on me, justified as though I'd never committed one sin. I want to say to you, like it or not, evil days are ahead, whether it's this year or 10 years from now. I say to you what you need, that's hope in God. Victory in God comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants to robe you this morning in his righteousness. He'll write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life if you'll receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. I say to you that if you just kept up with the news as much as even as I do, and there's so much behind the scenes I don't know, but I want to say to you, it's a scary place to be without Jesus. It's a scary world to live in today without Jesus. Do you have him as your Savior? I pray that you do. Let's bow our